Tuned in to the Talk Up Podcast. Find us on all your favorite podcast platforms or watch us on YouTube.
Welcome back.
Episode 9, brother.
Episode 9, nearly at double digits.
Stop that.
You can tell it's definitely setting into winter. I am rugged up because it's a bit nippy.
I think, wasn't the first official day yesterday, or am I way off? Shortest day. Actually, I think it was the shortest day
yesterday. Yeah, yesterday was the winter solstice, which is the shortest day of the year.
Yeah. And it was cold.
Yes.
Where we are.
Would you believe if you've got less sunlight, it's colder?
I do believe that. What's been happening, bro?
Mate, what hasn't been happening? I've been chasing my tail with sick kids because it's the season change.
Yeah, tis the season right there.
Man. Fluey, snotty, sneeze. Yep. Gross.
Yep. Same here. Same.
Yep. I can see you sucking on a lozenge. Yeah. Go on, make the noise.
I was like, there you go. That's it. You're not getting any more. All you sickos out there that like those
ASMR.
Oh, man. That'd be torture for me, eh?
Yeah.
I can't handle it.
I'm actually going to warm myself up from the inside tonight. I've got a little something. When it comes to winter, I like to indulge in like some darker beers and stuff like that. And every now and again, I just treat myself to something a little bit nice. So tonight, if you can see it on the camera, I'm going to have a Pirate Life and Lime Burners collaboration project, which this is a whiskey barrel aged stout.
Ooh.
So
it's, that might even be something that I could get around.
You can have a taste if you like. It's they put it in a single malt whiskey barrel and they age it that way. So this is a 500ml can. It's actually probably all the purists out there will be like screaming at me because it's sacrilegious to be drinking this out of a can. I should have poured it into a glass, but I don't care that much. This is going to warm me from the inside out. 500ml can, 10.5%, 4 something standard drinks to the tin. I think it is.
10.5.
Yeah, 4.1 standards. There you go. But I don't just drink it for the alcohol content. I do enjoy these. So here for the ASMR guys. Oh, yes.
Oh, I think everyone can get around that noise. That's a bit different.
Yeah, that sounds like Friday, but Friday's tomorrow. But go on, give us a swig.
Go on.
Oh, yes.
And that's her.
That's her. That is the going. Go on, have a crack. Go on, you might as well.
Fucking hell.
What do you reckon?
That's not bad, actually.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
You get that nice sort of warmth on the backside.
I wouldn't need many of those to knock me on my ass, but...
No. It's definitely a strong sort of coffee, chocolatey sort of stout. And then on the backside, you get that whiskey hit. I love it.
Not bad.
Anyway. That's a little drink review. What's been happening in your world, mate?
Work.
Yep.
Been doing a bit on the wagon.
We have, yes.
Behind the camera, you can't see it, but she's sitting up there. We're making a little bit of progress.
Yep, we're getting there.
Yeah. It's hard to get a bit motivated when it's wet and raining and cold and people are sick and whatnot. But yeah, no, the vision's getting sort of clearer by the day. It's all looking pretty straightforward. It's just time to do the actual work now. So
yeah, yeah.
That's... you know, we've still got bits continuously rolling in and there's still like a heap more to get as well, so.
Yeah, and the plan changes as well. Like we start laying pieces out where they need to be and then you find a roadblock and you're like, oh, shit. You
know, yeah. Like,
and we've got to adapt and overcome. Yeah. So things are evolving.
Yeah, definitely need to stop assuming because I've done that yeah. twice now. I got away with it. Didn't get away with it once and then got away with it the second time, so.
Yeah. So,
and I'm usually like,
you are,
I'm the glass half empty guy. Like anything that can go wrong, I expect it to go wrong. It's fucking painful. But, I was like, nah, this will be all right. So what I did is I welded the V-band on one of the cast headers and, didn't even check it. It was just like, oh, that's where it's going to go.
And it barely
fits. Well, I preheated it all up, got me bloody got me a special welding rod. I can't remember what it was, some sort of nickel chrome variant that I used, and glued it on there, and then it only just fits in there. So
yeah, barely fits.
Yeah, no, I've done this exact task on my car before, and that's how good my memory is. I'm like, oh yeah, there's fuck all room under here.
There could be some minor differences between the two cars though.
Like, yeah, I don't think so, because it's like in relation to the engine and the K-frame and stuff. It's not.
Yeah.
I think maybe just the power steering rack is sort of the main. It's a little bit bulkier than the manual rack in mine, but.
So I don't think we've really covered it on the videos, but if you're interested, the VH wagon, when I started putting the driveline in forever ago, this has actually got a VR K-frame, VR steering rack, power steering rack. All the VH arms and stuff were put onto the VR K-frame. So some stuff is slightly different geometry from what a VH would normally want. But, yeah, it's...
pretty much same, but different.
Yeah. Possibly. Yeah, there wouldn't be much in it.
No.
No, there wouldn't be much in it.
No, the floor pans are all pretty well identical until you get to the IRS, I think, models.
Yeah, okay.
I think there's slight differences, like maybe VL, they sort of, the floor pan has the provision for the cat converter and shit, maybe. Yeah. That might be a bit of a difference. I don't know. We haven't done many, well, I haven't anyway, gotten underneath anything sort of earlier than VL. I think I've sort of, that's as low as I went.
Yeah. And you certainly wouldn't have done it on a long roof. As for doing the rear mount turbo stuff, that'd be totally foreign.
Yeah, it's good though. It's a welcome. It's more room up the back. Well, the floor doesn't drop down.
Only because that spare wheel well's not there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're not fitting anything back there really if you had that there. So.
No.
So yeah, no, that's about it. Just been chipping away on that and slowly coming up with a few different ideas. I'll probably start pulling a few bits off the top of my motor to get that ready for next summer for a tune and some driving. So yeah,
sweet,
that's about it.
Yeah, it'd be cool to get that thing proper going. Like we were saying the other day, like once we've got your car going and my ute, I mean that's just a goer all the time, but we can start doing more like cruises and events and stuff like that, where we can both sort of go out and put some K's on and go and
catch up with some people.
Yeah, go and see some more of you guys and get out and about. It'd be wicked. So hopefully next summer we can do a bit more of that.
What about yourself, mate? Besides being sick.
Well, I haven't been sick. That's the annoying part.
You were sick for one day, remember?
I had a headache, I did have a splitting headache.
Yeah, mate, you didn't go to work.
Slept for 15 hours.
Yeah, it's man flu, bro.
Yeah. But then I woke up feeling good. So, but yeah, just caring for the little ones and my dear wife and, yeah. It's the end of financial year as well, and like because I'm in that sort of office position, it's like you got to start getting ready for yearly reviews and enter in all your KPIs and all that sort of stuff. So that's really been sort of absorbing a lot of my energy lately. But you know, just the boring stuff. Yeah. But we're getting ready to do some more exciting shit here and my place in the near future. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Very good.
Sweet. All right. We'll move on to something a little bit more directly automotive related. This week's hot topic.
That's hot.
Now, probably not so much a hot topic. I don't want to harp on about it for too long, but I do want to make mention. Busselton top door slammer driver Kelvin Lyle had an unfortunate incident at Hidden Valley Raceway in Darwin over the weekend just gone.
Bit of a scary one.
Was, yeah, yep. I mean, you think those things are crossing the line at 400 odd k's an hour. He's hit the wall, no chute, so I'm assuming that maybe he was knocked unconscious on that impact, crossed in front of John Zappia in the shutdown area and gone through the sand trap, you know, to the end. And man, as scary as that is on its own, poor fella's stuck in the car, had to be cut out. He was taken to hospital and left in an induced coma for a short period before coming back out. The good news is that I've seen on the socials is so far they believe that there's no long-term injuries, which is good. So hopefully that means he'll be able to make a full recovery. But I just want to say from the Talk Hub podcast, wanted to offer our thoughts to Kelvin and his team and his family, because holy hell, that would have been scary.
Yeah, get well soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't. It looks scary on TV, but yeah, in real life, to actually be there and witness it, that's when you really know.
It's when I started thinking, I'm like, geez, how fast do those things go? And it's over 400, and you think, okay, so even if he's buttoned off at say 1,000 foot, and you know, impact is knocked off 100 k's an hour, and then he's coasting for a bit, you'd still got to think he's got to hit that gravel trap at over 200 easy. And I haven't been to Hidden Valley Raceway, but I sort of had a look on Google Maps, and I'm just sort of zooming in and having a look. It looks like they got a pretty short gravel, like, arrestor bed, and it didn't look like there was a safety net either. It was like there was two rows of tires and then a concrete barrier. Like I say, I haven't been there, so I can't confirm that that's what it is, but I would have been surprised if it was an Andra meet and that was the level of safety that I had for arresting a vehicle at the end of the track.
Yeah.
Particularly for like group one racing.
Yeah. You just take those parachutes for granted, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they do such a brilliant job of slowing you down, and then all of a sudden, and they fail. It's not uncommon for them to fail either. Yeah. Really,
the other amazing thing that parachutes will do is help pull you straight as well. You know, like once you've got them out there as an anchor, they are pulling you dead straight. So that's another really handy thing that they do. But yeah, I don't know, I hope that they did have, you know, adequate stopping devices and safety devices there as far as this track infrastructure is concerned. But yeah, if what I'm reading is correct and there's going to be no long-term injuries for him, then that's you know, probably the best possible outcome for that kind of incident.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Like I say, didn't want to harp on about it, but I did want to sort of make mention. I've got in my notes, because I did make some notes this time, so I wasn't a blubbering mess too bad. I was thinking the other day, when was it a normal thing to be a two-car family? My wife her car had to go in for a service the other day, and I was thinking, oh, it's easy. You know, like, we've got multiple cars or whatever. I can drop her off on the way to work and, you know, it'll all be sort of sweet. But then I was thinking back when I was a kid, particularly when I was younger. When I was a teenager, we had two cars. But when I was a younger kid, I think it was normal to be a single car family.
It's just dawned on me now. Maybe it got normalized once. Because not forever ago, it was pretty normal just for the bloke to go to work.
That's right.
Stays at home.
Yeah.
Looks after the kids. Gets mad, doesn't kill him though, looks after him really good, and then dad comes home with the only car, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
But like the way things have been for a long time, you kind of need two incomes. Well, you know, most people do. I'm single income, but you know, a lot of people need two jobs, or you know, or want to work, you know. Not everyone wants to stay home all the time, so I'd say that's what it is. You know, you got two different workplaces to get to. That's really where it all would have started happening.
Yeah, so we were a dual income family from, I want to say that I was the age of, I don't know, six, but we did live in the metropolitan area, so my mum utilized public transport for going to work for the most part, and dad had the car. But even when we moved out of the city and into a rural area, it was just interesting that for a long time we were a single car family. And I was thinking back, most of my friends' families were still single car families as well. I thought I'd try and Google that before we started this episode, and they said that in the US in the 60s it became reasonably common to see a two car family. But hell, I ain't that old. I know I'm getting.
Well, we live in Western Australia though, so everything takes a while to trickle over.
Very true, very true. But it was just an interesting thought, and I was just like, I think I was probably maybe 13 or 14 before we became a two-car family. What about yourself? Were you pretty much in a single-car setup?
Yeah, I can't even really think about
this.
It,
this white VR over here would have been just the.
This was it. This was the hack.
Yeah.
One of them. All the dents in those doors are from me and my brother mainly. So, Yeah, she's been in the family for a long time now, really long time.
Mm.
Since I was probably about, maybe seven years old, something like that.
Yeah.
So a fair while.
Mm.
And it was just that one, yeah.
I don't know.
For a good while, anyway.
It was just a random thing that I was thinking of earlier on in the week. And like I say, I Googled it and it didn't really make sense or wasn't really, the answer didn't relate to me. And I thought it'd be an interesting discussion to have.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And now, like, shit, man, at one point, I think I had three cars, so four cars, I think, four or five regos I was paying at once. That was before when regos weren't as dear as what they are now.
They are dear as poison.
Yeah, they're pretty, mainly when you're not using it up, man. The amount of thousands of dollars I've paid on rego for mine that has been not utilized one single bit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even want to think about it.
Even now.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Well, I'm more or less the same. I've got four regos in my household and two unregistered vehicles. So, yeah. Doesn't take long.
Your fair share, mate. Your fair share.
Yeah, doing my bit.
For government are getting their money out of you, that's for sure.
They certainly are. The dogs.
Yeah, they're good at that.
Anyway. Have you got any automotive topics that you'd like to cover tonight, mate?
No, not really. I just wanted to... I got the latest Street Machine. I haven't even read it properly yet, actually. Mm-hmm. And I just flicked in a few pages and seen like the... I think it was like a little product spotlight or something from... Might have been Motorex. I'm not sure. I really should have looked into it. But anyway, it just had like the few different Harrop blowers that they're bringing out for like, you know, like if you follow the Skid Factory, like most of you should. And if you don't, go and check them out. You must be living under a rock, but...
Oh, yeah.
They've... You know, they've got that 2650 pump on the big block Chev, but they're in the development stages, or I think actually they're nearly finalised, maybe the one for the small block Ford and what was it? Oh, small block Chev.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, and I think they're eventually going to do like a Cleveland style one as well. So
I was going to say, yeah, I think the one they've done so far is a Windsor version.
Yeah, small block Ford, like the Windsor, yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was, I think that's really cool. And just, I was trying to think, I was like, what do you reckon it would be like? I reckon it would be a better engine combination just purely performance-wise, like say something like what Mick's got, you know, like if he pulled the Pro Charger off and put one of those, I'm not suggesting that, but I'm just saying like imagine you never think that you're going to see like your modern, you know, Valley Mount supercharger style pumps on like an XY or sort of any of your older school kind of stuff. It's sort of more of your root style Chrome blowers, blower, if anything.
Yeah.
Or
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, for something like an XY or a HT Monaro or something like, for the most part, actually, in saying that, a lot of the HTGKs and stuff, they've sort of, you've got,
there's a lot of LSAs. I was going to say
a lot of them have been morphed into LSA swap sort of things. So I guess that is a little bit more common, but. An XY in particular, you wouldn't see that sort of blower for, yeah, it'd mostly be like an 871 or something like that, you know, like a chrome roots blower.
Yeah.
I
think it's wicked, eh? I really do.
I think it's great, yeah.
And the best thing is like, sort of like the latest technology, you know, that rotor pack, it makes a fucking shitload of power now, like, sort of like, you know, years ago, yeah, like, don't get me wrong, you still make shitloads of power with your, like, your Magnussons and stuff like that, but a lot of that stuff was always sort of, like, pegged out by, like, 700-800 odd horsepower, you know, in most applications in the older stuff, you know, like, say, like, what Warby's got, you know, that thing's just pegged to the max.
Yeah.
Great power, but, like, these new rotor packs, you can make over 1,000 to the tyres now, like, you don't necessarily need to put a turbocharger on if you're trying to make what would seem like bare minimum horsepower for a street car these days. Thousand. Like if you're not in those digits, then no one wants to know about you.
Yeah. In saying that, like, yeah, Warby's has got an old style rotor pack, but he's also got a pretty small displacement blower. As you know, compared to like a 2650s.
Yeah. Well, that's all you could get back then. Yeah, it wasn't like you could get a, I mean, I think the only other ones that I really know that we sort of seen was, maybe like the Whipple stuff. You could get some bigger capacity Whipple stuff,
like a 2900 or a 4000 or,
yeah, I think they did a 3 liter, 3 point something liter one as well, and then they did a 4.5 liter one. So
actually, I think I saw somewhere, I'd correct me if I'm wrong, it might have been at PRI last year or SEMA, that for certain applications only, but the Harrop casing has been made to suit a 3 liter rotor pack.
Yeah.
It was like 3,100 or something.
Yeah, I think the... I can't remember who makes the actual rotor packs because I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure it's all like the Eaton or TVS or something like that make the rotor pack, and then all the other companies sort of adapt it to their own manifolds and stuff like that, and intercoolers and stuff like that. There's a lot of work involved, but I think the rotor packs themselves are a sort of more of a generic thing. And I remember watching something, and I'm probably dribbling shit, but I'm pretty sure they made a bigger one, like a longer one, obviously, from way back then, and it didn't seem to, like, the extra capacity, what you weren't getting much more out of it for the extra capacity of the blower. Like, so I think maybe that exhausted that design and that length sort of thing before it sort of like you need to change the design to get.
So they found the point of diminishing return. I think so,
but this is me going off something I've listened to a while ago. So but interesting nonetheless. If the 2650 can make a shitload of steam on like 400 plus cube motors. So
absolutely,
like more than enough for most punters. But I thought it was cool, you know. It's such a good time to be alive for the innovation and not even just innovation, but just options you have for different things.
Yeah,
because we're always looking for something different, like in some way, shape, or form. That's the car scene's built off egos, whether you like to admit it or not. Anything that males are interested in, whether it be fucking lawn or barbecuing or whatever, it's all to outdo someone.
You're targeting me directly then.
You feel attacked. But that's how it is. So everyone wants to do something a little bit better, or if they can't do it as good as that, maybe a little bit differently. And that's kind of what I like to see. When we're talking about the guys making like crazy power with their older naturally aspirated six cylinders or even NAV8s or, you know, heaven forbid, Holden V8s, whatever. You know, it's cool.
To circle back a little bit to sort of saying, putting that on, say, something like mixed car, I was just sort of having a quick think about it.
A bit quick visualization in the head, bit of a daydream. It was,
And just like
I didn't even think about what it would... The visual thing didn't come into my mind at all. The only thing that's coming in my mind is like so much power straight off just straight off tip in it, which is completely opposite to how a centrifugal blower works.
Yeah.
So whether it would be faster or not is... I'm not sure.
Yeah. So,
because let's be honest, Mick hasn't even really used the true potential of what he's got yet. He's still sort of cutting his teeth on it. And
there's
still heaps to go with that, you know?
Yeah, we had people comment on that with the last video. Obviously, we've pulled the engine and gearbox and everything out because it's getting a bit of a birthday. Like, the engine bay is getting a birthday. And
he must have seen the Commodore's engine bay and just thought,
like, yeah. Like I say, I think he's been to a couple of shows.
That was a joke, by the way. And he's
seen a couple of things and...
Well, he sort of made it the point where it's like, what's next? We've been flirting with the idea of doing another build, but it's like, do you really want to go in on another? Okay, yeah, we say it cost you 80 grand or 100. You know it's going to blow out like big time, especially in this day and age. So, you know.
Yeah, so let's say you spend 100 grand and we build another car and we would really like to use a Godzilla for what he's flirting with doing. We should probably save this for a podcast when Mick is here, but we'll cover it briefly now. You could spend that 100 grand and you could build that car with a Godzilla engine, which, like you say, it's probably going to be a bit more. Or you could spend another 50 grand on that car that he already has and make it something really special.
And that's what I would do.
Yeah.
But that's just me, and I don't do things the same. But I think that car needs some AFI on it for what he's doing. I don't know if we spoke about that on a previous podcast or video or whatever, but I think
the blow-through carb works, and it probably works well. It'd probably work better in a drag race application, like a wide open throttle sort of setup. But for street driving and street ability, and that's not to say that it's that bad to drive either.
You can drive; it drives fine.
Yeah, but I think it would definitely be better with EFI.
That's a very generalized. That's a general statement that fits to all applications, really. Let's be honest. You know, when you get your car going, that'll be running on that carby that you've got. Like, of course, it's not going to start as easy and nice in cold weather. Like, you know, It's just not that daily driver thing. Will it make more power? Probably not.
You know? Yeah, probably be marginal.
There's a lot to be said for a perfectly tuned carburetor. That's for damn sure. There's absolutely. There's a reason why the naturally aspirated guys stick with that sort of stuff.
Mm, yeah.
Other than just knowing it like the back of their hand, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know, just the way that he drives that car, the way that it's utilised on the street, and that the centrifugal blower certainly isn't a bad option because it keeps it very tame.
Yeah, and tractable.
Yeah, keeps it very tame and tractable. Even when you are starting to sort of take some liberties with it, it sort of gives you almost like a warning strike in a way. Like you've got that preemptiveness where you can go, okay, I've had enough.
Yeah, well, now. And you're winding up to it, yeah, because like, it's such a linear.
Whereas, and obviously, mine is very low on the horsepower by comparison, but for driving style, when you stand on it, it goes, all right, let's go.
Yeah, it feels a lot better than the power it makes simply by the way it drives.
Yeah,
and that's something that I guess we've spoken about a few times on videos, like power. What do they call it? Like power under the curve or whatever. So
yeah. Which is king, by the way.
Yeah.
Fuck your peak horsepower, you dogs.
So, yeah, I don't know. That was something I thought about anyway.
Yeah.
I do like the look of what's under there now.
It does look pretty true.
I wonder if we can talk him into some new wheels at some point, like some welds or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had the Convo Pros, but everyone's got Convo Pros.
Yeah, everyone's got wheels.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
True.
If you're basing the your car off what sort of wheels only, like, you haven't done enough to it, I don't think.
Whilst it was in, I sort of, you would have seen it. I made the passing comment. We got a bit of a group chat. And I was like, oh, while it's going in to have the engine bay touched up, maybe we should just tub it to the rail, you know?
Yeah. And I said it'd be rude not to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you. Anyhow, what do you reckon? Should we move on?
Yeah, let's do it.
Move it up.
Marketplace Morons.
Tell him he's dreaming.
Now, Marketplace Morons, like we said in the last one, it seemed to be a bit of a dying sort of subject. But then our inbox started lighting up. People have been sending us in a few Marketplace Morons.
Cutler Cutleys?
Yeah. Pretty excellent.
All right. Well, I haven't heard these, so this is...
You haven't?
No.
Well, we covered one around the bonfire the other night.
Yeah, I've already forgotten.
2009 VE. Was it Motorsports Edition?
Oh, they're...
Dealer Pack. It was like build number, who cares,
out of 1200. Yeah, don't put the bloke on blast.
No. But it's like build number, who cares, out of 1200. And I made Kurt and a couple of our other friends try to guess how much.
I got close pretty quick because I went pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think Hayden got it.
Yeah. You thought you were being ridiculous, but you still underslung it.
Mm.
At $95,000 for a dealer pack VESS, I was like, what?
Mm. I think...
There's blokes that are struggling to get like 90 grand for a GDS.
Yeah.
And this bloke reckons that his SS is going to get there. I couldn't believe it.
I think a lot of these cars that I'm seeing popping up lately with... I think they should have sold their cars maybe 12 months ago.
Yeah.
They probably would have got close to what they were asking. It was sort of like anything, you just... I don't know what you call it, human nature. You just keep wanting it. It keeps going up, so you can think it's going to keep going up, the price or whatever, or you assume it will, and then it gets to the point where those interest rates are starting to hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I'm going to get rid of me bloody pride and joy, but unfortunately, you're most likely not going to get
what
you would have got 12 or 18 months ago because everyone's got loans with high interest rates and...
And they're only getting higher.
And they're paying through the nose for groceries and all that fun stuff.
That's right. I've had a few people send in like marketplace listings that are sort of code for illicit substances and stuff like that. But that's like, that's always been a thing. Yes, it is stupid. They are morons, but not really what we're going to cover in here. So that's that. That's the one I was talking about there.
Yeah.
The SS there. Crazy.
You had me at VE.
Yeah. Actually, I think it might be a VF. Yeah, it might VF? Be a VF. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But even still.
Good luck to him, though. I'll add that.
Yeah, all the best. Send him our regards. This one was secondhand brake pads. So we've covered...
How secondhand? Did he give you a percentage? He better have at least given you a percentage left or used.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he? He did?
There was a photo. There was a photo. And look, it looked like there was a fair bit of meat left on them. It's not like they were worn like right down. But still, second-hand brake pads for a Kia wanted $60 for the pair. They're probably only $80 brand new.
Maybe.
Some people really will try to get a what I'm thinking.
Why are they out though? What's going on there? Is he parting it out like he's rid it off? But he's like, no, I just put some fucking new pads in that last week. I'll get them cunts yeah, back out. Yeah.
The missus has just backed into a Mercedes and written it off, and he's just like, nah, fuck, it's got brand new dish, that one.
Yeah, he even got the Bendix ones, mate. Not the bloody.
Nah, these were straight up super cheap specials.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. Okay. Straight up super cheap specials.
Yeah, so they're probably still on there.
Yeah, probably, but more than likely. Well, I say thanks for the guys that have been contributing. There have been a couple come through. Just sort of tried to keep this one reasonably brief, but if you do have an absolute cracker, let us know. That $95,000 Commodore, that stopped me in my tracks. I was like, holy! But yeah, illicit substances and things that aren't really automotive related. We'll probably let them go through to the keeper, but yeah. If you've got anything cool, for sure, bring it in. Or if you've got any cool marketplace stories, like say if you've been trying.
Yeah, what I'm thinking. Maybe we need to get rid of the morons. It seems a little like I'm a negative piece of shit, but even me, I'm like, we could probably go more generalized. Yeah,
do we really need to start labeling people?
Yeah.
But if you've got some cool marketplace stories where you've tried to buy something and it's turned out to be a joke, or someone's tried to buy something from you and they've just blatantly taken the piss, then do jump onto our website, talkhub.com.au, and send us a voicemail, because we'd love to hear them. And that'd be another cool thing that we could put in here, not just during the blower one segment. You could leave us a voice message for anything, so feel free. Shall we move on?
Yes.
Moving up.
You know what really grinds my gears? Running on the chip.
On the chip, powered by our good friends at ReedSpeed.
That's it. All the W's.com. Oh, no. ReedSpeed.com.au. Go and check it out.
Well done.
Yeah.
I think that's about the third time you fucked up his website.
Use Google, fuckers.
Dan, you'll please sponsor us. Don't take any notice of it. ReedSpeed.com.au.
There you go. Spit it out.
Yeah, well done. What have you got that's got you on the chip, mate?
Nothing. You know what gets me on the chip? Fucking up that website every time. Now I'm annoyed. One job.
Every time, one job.
I'm like, fuck.
The man goes out of his way to support a bloke, and you fuck up his website.
It's the intent there, man. We're trying.
That's right. And I think he appreciates it. I do have one. I'm not going after some big conglomerate company this time. Thought I'd change my tack.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, courtesy car parking spaces. Where do you sit on courtesy car parking spaces, Kurt? And so, just for clarification, disabled car parking spaces are not a courtesy car parking space. That is legitimate. That's legislated. You've got to have the thing, otherwise you're going
to. And even if it wasn't, you're a real piece of shit.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
But if you do that, if you steal the parking.
That's right.
Not in general.
Yeah. But the other day, it was kind of weather like this. I don't know if you can hear it through the mics, but starting to mist with rain. It was probably a little bit worse than this the other day. But I went to the shopping center, and at one of our local shopping centers, we've got a pretty long row of parents with prams parking. And every man and his dog. You right there, Cobb?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, nah, good. every man and his dog was filled up in those spots. And I'm talking, there was a Commodore Ute there, and there was no child seat in there. He wasn't pushing no pram. Now, I've seen various discussions on social media that sort of pertain to this kind of thing, where a parent with a pram, for instance, has sort of said, hey, you people that are filling these car parking spots are kind of making life hard. And you get old Betty Joe that jumps on there and goes, well, we never had those parking spots when I had kids, so I'm just getting mine back. And I was just thinking, can you imagine? And it's, I wasn't that long ago there. You know what I mean? Like, my kids are a bit older now and I don't have to take a pram. Oh,
a little bit. They're still pretty young though.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't...
It's fresh.
I don't have to take a pram and I'm not having to unload a capsule with a fresh baby or whatever. But I'm thinking, you got to be a real piece of shit to make, in that sort of weather, make those poor parents park halfway down the car park to unload their child and push their pram along the car park just because you're thinking, nah, fuck it. It's not like a legal thing. I'm just going to park next to the front door. What, yeah. What's your thoughts on that? Are you going to be that guy?
Nah. Excuse me.
Oh, geez, we're both doing it now.
I reckon I've probably parked in one before when I'm running in quickly to the bottle shop when there's like still another 7 or 8 like there. You know what I mean? I think your piece of shit like gets worse and worse like the less parks there are. You know what I mean? Like if there's no one around, like I'm talking like pretty much no one, and you've just pulled up there and you only realise them when you're half pulling in.
Yeah.
It's probably not that bad because there's still like 7 or 8 more of them there. And, you know, the chances of 7 or 8 pregnant women rolling up or families or whatever, it's probably pretty slim. But when you're like taking the next one or probably the last one especially,
yeah,
it's probably pretty rough. So I'd say in a general sense, I would say, yeah, you're a bit of a shit cunt.
Yeah. Nah, I was a bit off it. And
but you know what I mean? Would you get mad if you seen just one in there? And it was like, you know, like it's like 6 o'clock on a, you know, and it's not peak hour.
Yeah. And if, you know, like you say, if
be reasonable.
If there's still a bunch of car parks or whatever, but you got to think on this, like I say, on this day, paint the picture, it's raining reasonably consistently. There's no like undercover car parking in this particular spot.
Yeah.
And all the ones that are really close to the door are all just chock-a-block with people that clearly do not have kids. I don't know. I thought that was a bit rough. Mm. And if you're a member of the car community, I mean, if you're a member of the car community and you've got a nice car, chances are you're parking at the back anyway because you want to take up 2 spots and be away from everyone. And if you're taking 2 spots, if you're rocking up and you're taking up 2 spots near the front door, then you probably need to go to bed with a mirror and wake up to yourself because that's not on. Just if you want to take up 2 spots, I'm all for it, but do it down the back where there's going to be less people anyway. Although one thing that gets my goat is when you do go down the back and you do take up the bigger spot and then someone parks right next to you anyway.
It happens. Fuck all the time. Me.
Unbelievable. See, this is...
I reckon the girls do a good job of getting... Not only putting dents in people's doors, but getting them in all the doors. Eh? Have you noticed that? Like the wife's car, it's just like, where the fuck are you parking? Yeah. I know where you're parking. You're parking up the front.
Yeah.
Next to all those fucking pram bays, all them bitches just opening up their doors. Because they got other things to worry about, like their screaming kid.
Yeah.
Can't hate it, I guess.
No. Well, I say, it wasn't that long ago that I was unloading a capsule and a pram and you had a... You know, you had a 2-year-old in one arm and you had a newborn in the other and you're trying to wrangle that and, you know, in the shit weather because both of my kids are winter babies. And then just to see that sort of thing, you know, I'm usually, you know me, I'm pretty placid sort of dude. I'm not usually one for confrontation.
Were you going to staunch him if you seen him, Jeff?
Well, here's where the story gets spicy. Here's where the story gets spicy.
Oh, yes.
Nah, it wasn't too bad. But I walked out of the shop and old mate is, you know, putting his couple of, you know, man cans and whatever. Because, you know, he's doing a bachelor shop. He's probably got like a half-cooked chook and a couple of man can soups and he's just throwing them in the back and away he goes.
Tub of coleslaw.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't knock the coleslaw. I like it.
I'm not.
But I said to him, oh, yeah, just taking care of the kids, are you, mate? And he's like, oh, fucking, it's fucking raining. I'm like, yeah, tell that to old love. And as I pointed, there was someone down the other end of the car park unloading a car with a pram. And I was like, yes, got him. Fucking got him.
Ooh. That's a big dick swing move right there.
It was. And like I say.
What did he say? Nothing.
Yeah, he was just like, oh, fucking whatever.
Yeah, what you know? Like,
he had nothing. But it was just like, I don't know. Hopefully, next time he thinks about it. Is what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I don't know. Wasn't on.
No. It's not on.
Poor form.
Agreed.
Did that breed anything for you? Usually if I come up with something for on the chip, that usually...
You know what I'm starting to figure out, though? I can't always agree with you, hey. I have to at least have some sort of stip in there, eh? I'm like, yeah, but nah.
Yeah, look, you make a valid point, but...
But fuck you.
Well, the pork podcast would be pretty boring if you just agree
with me. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
We need to put a disclaimer there, like anything we say or do is not true.
Oh, people love
in any way, shape or form.
People love to take what we say seriously.
They should. No. Oh, seriously. I thought you were gonna say with a grain of salt.
No, some people like so in particular,
all the reels you do of me, dribbling shit all the time.
Yeah.
You're like, who's this fuckhead?
Yeah. So like obviously to try and get a broader outreach, I'll sort of take the podcast and I'll make a couple of little clips of, you know, like funny conversations or slightly controversial conversations to try and pique someone's interest, right? So I put them on TikTok and the Gilmer Drive one, I'm usually a few podcasts behind, right?
So you let that one go to the front, didn't you?
No. So that was from like podcast 5 or something. I think I've only edited it up to that. Ago. Yeah. Yeah. It feels like forever ago.
Yeah.
And I started putting those out. This is, you know, a little while ago. And now all of a sudden everyone's getting up us, you know, like.
I just don't watch it. You don't even know then.
No, that's right. But it was pretty funny. And 9 out of 10 of these people have never watched one of our videos. They've never listened to
probably
one of our podcasts.
Probably 9.9 out of 10.
Yep. But they've come across it on TikTok. We've said something that they don't agree with, and they're all of a sudden we're fuckheads,
which is true.
They are correct.
It is true.
But it's just so funny just how quickly they go from 0 to 100 of how you guys can't tell everyone how to build their cars just because blah blah. Oh, you one bloke because obviously we referenced a Reed Speed 6-rib kit. And he goes, oh, you can tell the blokes that have got money, $300 for a Gilmer Drive versus $1,800 for the Reed Speed kit. And I said, well, hang on, apples for apples, the Gilmer Drive kit only does the water pump and the alternator. So if you got that same thing from Reed Speed, it would be like $520, I think it is. I'm just going from memory. But it's like, $520. Yes, still more expensive than the Gilmer, but not so far outrageous.
And you're not going to have to change the fucking belt every month.
Or the alternator.
Or the alternator. Yeah. And if you do need to get a new belt, you don't need to ask every sorry bastard on the fucking internet if they've got any spare belts because you can't just get them from your local fucking bearing joint. So
that's right.
Yeah, you got to buy another Chinese made. And this is the thing. This is you got me going there.
Ah, yes, I got him.
If someone... I think the main problem with these Gilmer kits is the fact that they're just cheaply produced shit. Is that that's sort of what we're basing our opinion on? Like, if there was good quality ones made wherever, it doesn't matter where they're made, but if they were good quality and actually fit decent, like there's one on that wagon that fits like fucking absolute ass.
Yeah,
really, you got to fucking space this out with. It's just they're just dog shit, man.
Yeah,
so. You're bolting something on, and this is what a lot of people do. They bolt this shit on and then put a fucking cheap thermo fan on it as well.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden you've just taken a perfectly working cooling system and a fucking perfect, like even just the original belts, you know, they work all right too. So there's no real dramas with those.
Yeah.
And then now your car's an unreliable, you know, shit box.
Yeah.
If someone made decent, and especially if someone in Australia made some decent like kits with good belts and obviously the machining and stuff was all good, we'd say, yeah, sweet, get it. It'll work. You put it on and it works. That's the thing. You go on the internet and look up, like, if you just typed in, like, Gilmer belt, like, problems or something, I fucking guarantee you're going to get plenty of hits, you know? Whereas Reed Speed, man, you bolt it on, it fucking works straight away, and it looks porn. Like, it's fucking mint.
Works with the factory aircon bracket, all the good stuff. But
people don't think where their money's going. That's... Like, you know, everyone just wants bang for buck, which I get. And especially in this day and age, fucking it's never been more important, you know. Everything's dear. But at some point, you want to think where your money's going and what's happening because, you know, we keep talking about having good products, you know, all this late technology with Harrop and whoever, all the good stuff. You got Garrett coming out with wicked new turbos. You keep buying, like, the knockoff turbos that the knockoff ones off Precision or bloody Garrett or whatever, eventually they'll just stop making it, and then these guys will have no one to copy, and then you just go to a stagnant fucking range.
That's it.
And it's a race to the bottom of who can make the cheapest shit again. You know, that's not really. A bit of patience, I think, goes a long way in making your automotive modification experience a little bit more pleasurable. Yeah, you might have to wait a bit, but you're not going to get stuck on the side of the road. Yeah. And you can feel good because you support an Australian business.
That's right.
Do it.
Are you done?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Don't fucking ask me next time.
No. that was a ripper tangent, but we had this joke the other day. This is my new thing. If he goes on a little thing, I was like, are you done?
And he knows I am.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So to go back to what I was saying, so these guys that are getting antsy about our...
We went on a mad tangent. Now I see where we're at. Oh, there we are. All right.
So
sorry about that.
No, you did well. Well done, mate. Holding up the team there. So these guys that sort of they take offense to, I'm going to say, quote unquote, our opinion, because they've never watched a video, they've never listened to a podcast. If you took more than 3.5 seconds to get to know any of our content, you'd know most of it's pretty tongue in cheek, and you'd know that
we don't take ourselves seriously, and fucking certainly don't expect anyone else to. That's for damn sure.
We're saying it with a straight face, but it's usually with a bit of a laugh attached to it. That bit just gets edited out, and so it looks really serious, and we're making a judgment statement, and that's obviously what drives the attention. That's what gets the views.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's just so funny to see these people that have never been exposed to any of our content, and they're probably not even real car people, but they just want to say their bit.
Well, they were attacked. They felt attacked.
Yeah.
No one wants to get attacked these days.
I love it. So if any of you guys that are listening to this, I'm not going to turn this into a clip, so I'm just going to let this ride. And if any of you guys see those people taking offense to something that we say about something on the podcast, I either want you to A, not correct them, or B, stir them up even more. Like, go, yeah, nah, you're right. They're a real piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it does, because we do read comments for things and whatever, and, you know, we don't reply to all of them because some of them don't necessarily warrant a response, but we do get a chuckle out of it.
That's good.
Yeah. All right, mate. Let's move on to the next segment.
Hello.
Blow award. Our favourite part of the show. Like I say, you can leave us a voice message, go to our website, talkhub.com.au, and it doesn't necessarily have to be for Blow Award. It could be something that pertains to one of our other subjects or
whatever
segments. But yeah, if you've got a cool story or whatever, feel free, jump on. We'd be glad to listen. Speaking of, we're a bit light on for messages and stuff tonight, but we did get a couple. We got a couple in. Got a couple late in the piece as well. Oh, here comes the rain. We're getting the rain now. Hopefully that doesn't come too loud through the microphones. Shall we go with the first one?
Yeah, do it.
Hey boys, Zach here. First time caller, long time listener. Wanted to get your opinion on like VN VPs. I've always liked the VNs. I think they're a good looking car. I've always liked the way of the boxy looking cars, like the VKs, VLs, all that kind of thing. Also, would love to do a cruise. Just when you guys are doing a cruise up in Perth sometime or something, as I'm a WA boy. So that'd be cool to do, a cruise, meet all the fans and everything, and see some of the cars, because I never got to come to Motivation to see them, so that'd be pretty cool. But, yeah, enjoy, boys, and love the work. Keep it up.
Thanks, Zach.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, mate.
A lot of people like to ask for our opinions. I think they're just trying to bait us to try and get one of those rants that you do that I make you look like an arsehole and put you on a clip.
Yeah. That's all right.
All right, go on. Unload on VMVPs.
I like them.
Yeah.
I love. Not all models, though. It's not like All V. Oh no, you see, there's so many getting done nowadays.
Mm. Actually, we just had was it Timmy sent us an inbox from one of our stories today, or VN actually, VN related. So Grigic performance.
Yeah.
They are.
So I mean, they made literally the most poxy looking one out, like the white exec look with the black bumpers.
Yeah, with the black
bumpers. It's very nice.
Yep. And those guys have been a staple in the WA car scene, First Street Commodore sort of stuff, since the get-go. But so I had to jump in early because as soon as I saw the post, yeah, it made it out onto social media land, and this thing's beautiful, like you say, white with the grey bumpers, but it's tubbed on welds.
Yeah, immaculate looking. Yeah,
welds, looking schmick, blah, blah, blah. With an LS in the engine bay with a VN Group A plenum on top with the Group A rocker covers. And I knew straight away, as soon as I saw that, we had to share it on our page, and I did it pretty much as soon as possible, because if I didn't, I knew that our inbox was just going to get peppered from our long-time listeners all day. I'm thinking, right, I've just got to tell everyone, yes, we've fucking seen it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Grigic, guys, if you're listening, you're probably not. Why would you?
But you shouldn't be.
You shouldn't be. Go do something better with your time. But that is a good-looking rig.
They seem to do like, they must do like a photo dump, because all their posts are sort of almost one after another. They do some awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome fab. Everything. Yeah. Everything's really good there, up there with some of the best. So.
Absolutely. But yeah, I like the VMVPs. They're not my favourite. I do prefer a VRVS over a VMVP, but I do like the squared arch on the rear, because when you do give them a bit of low, it does accentuate it a bit more rather than the radiused guard like we've got on the VRVS, which I think is why I really like the VS Ute, because that's got the square guard at the back. That to me is something that's really nice about them.
Yeah.
The interior is a bit...
Yeah, the dashboards are a bit funky.
Yeah, I mean, for the time, it was probably very nice and whatever, but it's a bit dated compared to a VRVS dashboard.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I do like it.
Yeah.
And if you've been around for a while, Zach, you probably saw that we did... It's a VN or VGU.
Yeah.
It was a VPU.
VP.
It is, It is a VPU. That Liam's going to eventually make up to look like a VNSS Ute, if they ever made one, with the 6 litre and the turbo. And I love that thing.
Yeah. I wish that thing should have got done ages ago, but like we've already alluded to, Liam has lots of projects.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
And that one just got forgotten about, unfortunately.
Oh, not forgotten about, but it just wasn't a priority.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got other really cool cars that, you know, they're on a rotation, and at the moment the VP Ute's just waiting for its turn.
No. So yeah, I'd have a VNSS. I do love me a VNSS. I'd love, ultimate would be like a white one, like a VNSS plus 8 white.
Oh yeah.
I'm not being too picky, am I?
You're being rather specific, but yeah. I'm for it.
Yeah. So yeah, I do kind of, that's pretty much the main one I like. There's not really, even the HSV stuff in the VN, like the club sport, that doesn't really do much for me, but yeah. And the VP stuff, probably the Senator would be my favourite one in them.
VP GDS for me.
Yeah, okay.
VP GDS is really nice.
Mm.
If I was going to pick anything VN or VP, it'd probably be that. I wasn't a real big fan of the Calais of the VN VP era. I felt like they were a little bit, I don't know, they just wasn't. Just didn't quite have the sparkle, I guess. Mm.
But then you go to the VS, and the VS Series 2 Calais is one of my all-time favourites.
But you've also got to think, a VS Series 2 Calais is like another 6 years down the line as well. So they've had
But they're essentially the same car, really, as far... Like, there's not much.
But yeah, the VS Series same platform. 2 Calais is a beautiful car. Beautiful car. You had one.
Mm-hmm. I had a black one with a sunroof.
Black over silver with a
sunroof. It was rough. I wish I kept it. All my cars that I wish I kept were the roughest shit boxes I ever had, eh?
Like the RB30 Ute?
Yeah, the Ute and that. Like the two biggest shit boxes I think I owned, and I'm like, oh, I miss them. Had like a pretty neat Maloo, and I'm like, ah, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're all for it. Most, well, all the Commodores, really. Like, even though I say I don't really get around the VLs or whatever, I can still appreciate a real nice one. Same VN, VP.
Mm.
Pretty much all the way up to VT, and then that's when my interest starts to wane a little bit. The V, Y, and VZs, there's certain models that I really do get behind. VEs are a bit of a thanks but no thanks, which is a shame because Holden spent, was it like over $1 billion on development on that?
I think they're great cars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for as like a daily driver, but as something that inspires you, you know, for an aftermarket to sort of buy and build and whatever. Like, it's great for, you know, the people that like accessories, let's call them, you know, like the halo headlights and things. If you're into that kind of styling, yeah, cool. But I don't know, just they didn't seem...
I think it's almost like, I think I was talking... Who was I talking to the other day? I think... My friend, Cam and Shereen were talking, and I was saying as the cars got newer, there just seemed to be sort of less difference in the bike basic model versus like the up spec model. Like, you know, you got some body kit and a few bits and pieces, but that was kind of it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, whereas like back in like say like the, you know, the VR, VS, like if you had like a GDS or a Senator, compared to say like what mine was, like an executive base, there was a lot of different stuff, you know. You got a different engine, sometimes a different transmission, you know. The interiors were way nicer. Just everything, like there was a lot going on.
Mm, yeah, and even though the headlights and stuff would fit in the same hole, the headlights or tail lights were slightly different, the garnish was slightly different. There was a lot of subtleties that made them very different. Whereas, like you say, when you get to the later the model, the more uniform they made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, VPSSs, how rare are they? You don't see them very often, do you? You don't
see many.
You see tons of VNSSs, you see fuck all VPs, and then you see tons of VRs and VSs.
I would really like an anthracite grey VPSS. That would be nice. Yeah. But VP GDS for me is, well, beautiful. Out of the VN VPs, and one of my mates, Brad, has one, and I love it. And hopefully he never gets rid of it so I can go and see it from time to time. Shout out to you, Brad. Legend.
So, yeah, thanks for calling, Zach. That was,
cheers,
that
Zach. Was good. Also, I recognised the name and the email. Zach just scored himself a sweet new hoodie this week.
Be like Zach.
Yep.
Shameless plug right there.
Yep. The postman paid Zach a visit on Monday and he got himself a sweet new hoodie for winter. If you'd like one, talkhub.com.au. Also, we have been listening after the conversation on the last podcast for new designs for merch. We've got one in the planning. We just need someone that's really good at digital art to give it a little bit more pizzazz.
Oh, yeah.
And then
a good amount, a bit more, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit more pizzazz, and then
we've got a basic concept there.
And then we'll have a pre-order dropping in the not-too-distant future. That's something that you'll only hear on the Talk Hub podcast until such time as we announce the pre-order on the video.
So, yeah, if you know someone that can do that sort of stuff, get us in contact. We don't want anything for free. We just
want
someone good.
Yeah, we want to pay good money for a good result. So you can either get to us on the DMs in Facebook, Instagram, send us an email, talkhub@gmail.com, or send us a voicemail through the website and leave us your details and we'll get in contact with you. Sound good?
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Next we haven't learned smoke signals yet, so we can't do that one right now.
And our carrier pigeon got eaten.
Hey, boys. Josh from Tough Street is here. Love the content. Love the potties. When are you coming down to Melbourne so we can cause a ruckus? Let's link up. Well done, boys.
Hey, Tough Streeters, boys. Tell you what, they have been turning out some sweet cars for their giveaways. I don't see us ever sort of going down that road because that means we'd actually have to build a bunch of cars. But those guys, that VK that they did not too long ago was sick.
I'm trying to think which one. They did the VL just recently, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
I was a massive fan of that. It's very, very similar to our friend Shane's one that I had in here not long ago.
Mm. And I think they've got one coming up I saw on Chris Anderson's channel, Mindy J. He's the place he works for, they've just done a bunch of work on a Turbo Monaro.
Yeah, I've seen that Delft Blue Turbo Monaro. Beautiful. I do like the V2 or CV8 Monaros. Or, I am a bit of a fan. It's a great chassis, and they're a good looking car. They're a good looking car. So yeah, that'll be a good one.
Yep. Man, we'd love to get to Melbourne. We've said it in the past, and we'll say it again. We want to get back to Heathcote Raceway, particularly for a Holden Nationals, but not necessarily just for that either.
Yeah, cruise to Melbourne for a bit. Hang out.
Absolutely. And if we do head over for something like that, we've got the time, we'd love to link up with as many dudes as we possibly can. So whether that be you, Never Late Podcast, those guys are in Ballarat, you know, I'd love to. And I love the Melbourne streetcar scene as well. They've just got the Melbourne streetcar stuff that's got a pretty cool style about it.
Yeah. You know,
like it's very Melbourne. Like it's very quintessentially Melbourne.
Yeah.
And they do build a nice car.
That's sort of how we like our cars, sort of Melbourne spec in a way, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, in a way, yeah. Like the Perth cars, you know, in WA, I strongly believe that we build some of the greatest cars in the country for sure. But as far as what their streetcar scene sort of has to offer, that style is wicked.
Yeah, well, they've always, you know, had the older stuff, tough, pretty basic looking, whereas, let's be honest, for years and years, WA was known as, like, we just had the late model shit. Whatever the latest and greatest was is sort of what everyone was fucking with over here, for the most part.
Because of that mining money.
Yeah, but like now there's not much new coming out, so...
Well, they stopped in 2017.
You turn your attention to the old stuff then, so...
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Josh.
So, yeah, thanks for the invite.
How cool. That's two episodes in a row we've had other creators sort of reach out and say good day, which is awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for calling in. We'll definitely get in contact if and when we head over, for sure.
Don't hold your breath. It won't be next week, and it probably won't be the week after.
But the week after that.
Still no, not looking good. But nah, we would love to get back over there. Like I say, we had a fat time last time that we came to Victoria, which was long before the channel was a thing. And we want to, I guess, relive that experience again, but... you know, do what we do now and sort of vlog it and be able to share it. I think it'd be a lot of fun. And because we do have somewhat of a following now, we'd be able to do those sort of impromptu meets, put it on Instagram, be like, guys, we're going to be in wherever, like Geelong. We're going to be in Geelong on our way to God knows where. And if you're in the area and want to say g'day, that'd be cool. I'd love to do that sort of stuff. Actually, just before I came up here to do the podcast, I saw that our... made in South Australia, Charlie Dixon, he's doing an open house, I think this weekend.
Yeah, okay.
At his workshop, and I was just like, man, we got all these cool people that do all these cool things, and we're too far from anyone to do it.
Yeah, it does suck, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not even in Perth, which is already too fucking far for everything. We're like hours away from there.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, it sucks.
But, you know, these are the choices we made. We love where we live, though.
Yeah.
We do love where we live. Yeah,
it's a bloody good spot.
But yeah, it would be cool to sort of do some more of that. Like I say, go to Charlie's open house because it looks like he's going to have a really good turnout. And obviously, he's got a wicked workshop where he's like his sort of setup, do that sort of stuff and catch up with, you know, like...
We'll have to head over, catch up with him at some point. We'll do like an
Australian tour.
Yeah.
Releasing dates.
That's it, eh?
Fucking hell. Could you imagine? Mrs. would be off ya. And me.
Yeah, we wouldn't make it.
No. Nah. But we'd have a good crack at it. Righto. Lucky last.
Hey, guys. Michael here, first-time caller. Love the podcast. It's really great listening on my way to work every day and home. My questions may have already been asked. I am a couple of episodes behind. But basically, just want to know your opinion on car scene quality, more so vehicles. I find personally that the quality of vehicles has dropped drastically in probably the last 5 to 10 years, more the last five. I feel like it's as long as it's good enough to daily drive, slap a massive engine in it, that's your new cool. Whereas build quality stuff like wiring, tucks, proper shave bays, actual good custom interiors without wrinkles and whatnot has, I feel like it's very much dying. It's exceptional panel and paint, stuff like that. I feel like it's very much more of a horsepower-based scene now, where as long as it's got a, you know, big, dirty, blown LS in it, then that's all that matters. And no hate to LS cars. I've got one myself. Secondly, the car scene in not only Perth, but Australia-wide in terms of the way it is now. Obviously, you guys are probably a little older than me, not much. I remember the car scene where, you know, it didn't matter what you drove, but you still had to be of some form of quality. You see guys now, and it's, you know, not hating as such, but, you know, Getz's, Hyundai of any description, really, you know, these things are rolling up with just stickers and hubcaps, and that seems to be must respect all builds. I just feel like that brings the car scene into a new thing of attracting the wrong kind of people. I understand we all start somewhere, but I sure didn't start with a Hyundai with a window banner and some eBay stickers myself. But yeah, just want to know your guys' opinion without the political correctness. You know, tell it how it is. But yeah, thanks again, guys, for the podcast. It's really good. Hopefully I'll get to catch up with you soon. Cheers.
Cheers, Cobb.
Thanks for that one.
A lot of positive feedback for the podcast, which has been surprising for us, because we thought the podcast would just be a little something that we did sort of in between a couple of videos, and we didn't...
Well, that really is all it is, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah,
every time it is that.
Yeah, but we didn't really think it would really amount to much, and let's be honest, it still hasn't. It still hasn't, but I think the amount of positive feedback that we've gotten for the podcast is probably even more regular than what we did for our videos, which is it's pretty cool. So thanks to all of you guys, not just Michael, but everyone that reaches out and says that they enjoy the potty.
What would you attribute that to before we get to it? Do you think it's because probably from like what he said at the end there, like no PC, like,
yeah,
especially when you chop up what I say or even just listen to it from start to finish.
Yeah.
I think people enjoy watching other people have an opinion, whether they agree with it or not. Not all people. A lot of people don't like watching or hearing opinions that aren't the same as their own. Yeah. But I think the people like us, like our sort of people that, you know, would watch our videos and listen to this, they enjoy someone that's not going to hide behind, you know, sitting on the fence. I sit on the fence a little bit just because I don't necessarily want to attack anyone or whatever. I'm sort of like, whatever you think's cool is cool, but I also like to...
Yeah, and that also sort of goes down to the respect all builds bit that he was sort of talking about as well. So we'll cover that shortly. But
Sorry to jump on you there, but you can't demand someone respect anything.
No.
That's not how respect works.
No.
Whether it's right or wrong is neither here nor there. There is no right or wrong. You can't demand someone respect. You know what I mean? Just like, yeah, you just can't. That's not what... That's just like not, that's literally not the meaning.
No.
It's not what it is.
Just like we can't demand that people watch and enjoy our content. You're either going to like it or you're not, and that's cool. But yeah, as to your first question, before I address Michael's question, I think it's just because we keep it real. And it's like I said from the first podcast, we try to keep it real in the videos, but at the same time, for me, the videos are sort of, I sit down in the lounge room and I watch build videos with my kids, and I don't particularly want to sit there and watch a video of the guys fucking and cunting, you know. So we do try and keep the videos pretty PG, and I don't cut things out if it's not gonna flow well, you know. I do try to keep it real, but we do just try and keep the
Even though we're in the shed, we're not shed talking like what we normally would. I'm pretty bad. You'd be able to tell from this podcast, I swear a lot.
Yeah.
I've grown up in blue collar industry from 15 years old. That's how it is when we're in the shed.
But the podcast, there is, unless there's a little bit of dead air time or something, this does not get edited. Like, it gets, I put the segments in and then I upload it the next day. So you get this as real is. So I think that's probably what people do enjoy about it, is that we just talk about cars that are relatable, cars that people can afford, people that cars have probably got in their garage, and we keep it real. Like you say, whether they agree with it or not, I think even the people that disagree with our opinions see that our opinion doesn't come from a place of hate. It comes from a place of passion.
And it is weird because we're like, you know, we're good friends, so there's only me and you talking about this. It's different. Even just one extra person, you'd get probably a different answer or... Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not like when you say something, you're ride or die to the end. And, you know, it's not...
Yeah.
Things can... Your opinion can change from 1 week to the next, depending on what information you have or how you're feeling at the time. So don't take it too seriously.
No, that's it. But,
ask me to respect your fucking... What was it? Kia or whatever it was with a window banner either. Like, you can have it, but I don't have to think it's cool.
No.
And I'm not going to.
What do you think about the car scene, though? Like saying the builds are definitely changing.
Yeah, 100%. I think we touched on this a good bit last episode, maybe. We had a very similar call in. But yeah, you're right. And I don't really know what to attribute that to. I can't even remember what I said last time. I think the exact point that I'm just made.
Yeah, I think I could attribute it to the cost of things. And you've got to prioritize. So if you want a tough car that sounds good and... Sounding good and going good strongly correlate. You know what I mean? Like, you don't often get a car that sounds great, but it runs like a bag of shit. If it sounds great, it's probably going to go great. But are you going to spend the extra on a smoothed engine bay or hidden wiring on a car that, if you do drive it semi-regularly, the bonnet's not going to be up and no one's really going to see it anyway? So for that, I can kind of understand... why people have sort of gone that way, because budget has to come into it somewhere and you have to sacrifice something. And if you are going to sacrifice anything, it would be the smoothed engine bay and the hidden wiring, because that stuff does take a lot of time, or if you can't do it, it costs a lot of money because it takes a lot of time. And that money is probably better spent elsewhere. Whether that's right or wrong is whatever. Obviously, my VH is going to have all the bells and whistles and all the fixings. You know, like, it's going to have a Deutsch plug bulkhead connector on the firewall, and it's going to have the wiring hidden as best as possible. It's got the smoothed engine bay. It's got the tubs. It's got, you know, all the panel and paint and all that sort of stuff. So I guess I'm doing, and I've said it before, it's my bucket list build. Is 16-year-old Jeff had that on a poster on his wall. You know, that's the kind of thing that I'm trying to build. But is that practicable for most people? Hell, it's not even practicable for me at this point. And we'll cover that, like we keep teasing, when I get the car back and I can sort of run you through it all. Yeah,
there's a balance there, like I alluded to before. We're all ego-driven at some point. This is why we fuck around with cars, because you might want to make something that's a bit better than what your mate's got or whatever. Or you get inspired. It might not just, you know, be purely ego. You get inspired to do something as good as that or a little better. So as humans, you're always going to take the path of least resistance. So horsepower has never been easier to get than what it is right now.
And we're very lucky in Australia that even our, like, you haven't got any outrageous body modifications on your vehicle, but it looks good. You know, we've got good looking cars.
From a distance, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, even just aesthetically, even in the state it is now, it looks quite presentable. If it had a full respray, it would look, like, very aesthetically pleasing, just from the design aspect alone.
Okay.
So you don't really have to spend to the end of the earth on all that sort of stuff. It is nice. I do love a car that's gone...
I like both, like, because all the things that was you were saying at the start, like, it was shit, but it had a nice motor. I've been getting more that way myself, but there's still work involved.
I'd be more inclined to drive that car than, say, the car that I'm building. And that's not to say I'm not going to drive my car. I'm obviously going to drive it. But if you had, say, a 700 horsepower car that didn't have all the extra bells and whistles, but it had nice wheels and suspension, and you know, you kept it clean and tidy, versus my, say, 500 horsepower car that's done front to back. But now I'm...
And how much fun would you... That build process, what? How much
exactly,
fun?
Yeah.
Say, like, you think of this. Trades have probably never... Trades have never been harder to get. Good trades have are nearly impossible to get. Okay? Yeah. Materials, so, like, you do, like, a full custom interior in a car. And I'm not... I like all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. I like stuff that's done properly. And you can attribute to that more absolutely, than anyone. Yeah. I'm super picky with stuff when I want to be, but... You think about how much fun it's going to be to wait to get booked into a guy that does a custom interior and someone that does good, like, panel and paint and, you know, all, you know, a wiring guy. You've probably just cooked 2 years' worth of waiting in the current climate, or at least
only
a year and a
years.
Bit. Well, maybe more. It depends what it is, you know. If you started with something that wasn't a total piece of shit, like what you did. Okay, it wasn't a total piece of shit. But
well,
it was.
And it's like, that took me 18 months just to get in. And now the car's been there for 18 months.
Yeah.
So that's 3.5 years.
Yeah, and that's if you're relying on other people. I think less and less people, compared to, say, 20, 30 years ago, were doing their own stuff. Like, people were a lot more hands-on before our time, you know? Like,
yeah.
Which is also... We're not even as hands-on as what people before, really, you know?
But just to sort of go on the other side of that, is that that's the cool thing about what we did with your car, is that we kind of... took it upon ourselves to be like, because you're the way you are and that car is what it is, and you're like, I don't want it left with anyone for any period of time. So you kind of backed yourself into a corner of, well, fuck it. That means we've got to do it.
Mm.
And that means we had to learn how to do it because we didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And the result also reflects that to a point. That's not to say it's a bad job. I think we did a great job for what we're capable of.
Yeah.
And next time we would do it even
better.
Yeah,
and now we've got that building block, so you know, I already know what I fucked up on it. And if I didn't make that one simple mistake of using that wrong, using the fucking tack rag, picking a tack rag up, putting it in solvent to do a wipe on before I put the colour on, if I hadn't done that, it probably would have turned out, like, really good.
Yeah. So,
and that was pure luck, like, with that, but just have a crack.
Yeah. So, that's like what you're saying, because of all of these factors and reasons and opinions that we had at the time and the availability of people and whatever, we ended up doing it. And that's probably throws back to what happened 10 or 15 years ago, because people would have done more of that sort of shit themselves.
Yeah.
Not like me. I'm lazy dog. Well,
probably a bit more. That was a lot of...
Yeah. Well, the
that result, was out of our realm for sure. There's no way we could have done that.
Yeah. The result that I was chasing was... It far exceeded what we were capable of. So,
yeah. And my vision for the end of this is much the same. I want it, like, really nice and mint eventually, but it's just been that long. It's been that long of a job. I just wanted to get it sort of in a one-piece running state.
And anyone that saw the car, like, if you came to Motivation, you saw the car, you know it doesn't look that bad. We trashed the shit out of it. And it's like anything. If you know, you know. Like, you know it's there. When we're building shit all the time, particularly Kurt, and I'm a little bit more lenient than Kurt is, but then I'll just be like, no one's even going to know it's there. He's like, yeah, but I don't give a shit. I know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and so we have to do this 4-hour fucking ordeal to fix this thing that no one's going to see. But, you know, that's just how it is. The car looks great for what it is, but we know where we fucked up.
Yeah, but, or where you could get better.
Yeah. But that also... throws back to, so what he's saying, these cars that were better 10 years ago, were they the same? Did they look great to mere mortals like us, but then the people that build it knew? You know,
probably,
I mean?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, I always thought it was pretty easy to get, like, a perfect paint job. Like, I just didn't know. I was just like, I would have been a shitty customer if I was paying for someone to, like, paint my car, because you always get flaws, apparently, like, small ones. Albeit, but you know, it's not as easy as what it looks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. Try not. I think the best, you can always start off sort of small, or, you know, set your targets low, and you can always go back and do a bay later on, or you can always, I don't know, tub it later on or whatever. You don't have to. You bite off too much, I think, sometimes.
Do you know what's probably killed it is social media. If you have the car that looks good on the outside, so it looks nice in a photo, right? When the bonnet's shut and the boot's shut and you've got it on a pretty background and you can take that photo and then you can put in the caption that it's got 700 horsepower, all of a sudden you're a fucking god among men. But they didn't see any of the rest of the shit because the car's not going to go in a magazine. The cars in the magazines are the ones that got the doors open and they got the photographers got their lights on special stuff to highlight and whatever. These other people, they're not doing that. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's probably where it's headed.
I don't think less people are having fun. Let me say that.
I think more people are having fun.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, more people are having fun. Less people have got show cars. You go into an elite hall now and there's less cars in there than there used to be, but that's not a bad thing.
No, it does. Oh, I like seeing it when it's full. Like,
yeah. But that just means that there's more people out on the track.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and for some people, that's more important. For me, it would be. I wouldn't want my car held captive in an elite hall for a whole weekend, even if it did warrant being there. I would rather be using it, personally.
Yeah.
But it depends on what your goal is, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if we even answered your question, bud.
No, I don't think so.
I think we went on a classic tangent.
But I see where he's coming from. You just want to see nice stuff and stuff getting better and better. You want to sort of see natural progression, but probably the natural progression has headed towards having more fun, not necessarily spending more money.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I don't know, maybe money was a bit easier to come by, you know, just before our time or, you know, like, say, when we were kids, say, 20 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, I certainly remember having more money than I do now. I've never earned as much as I do now, and I've never felt so broke.
Yeah. The more you earn, the more you spend, you know how it is.
Well, yeah, and just the cost of living and having kids and all that sort of stuff. Like, I didn't have all of those burdens before. Mm. It's all changed. So, yeah.
I want to see some more events pop up over here. That's one thing that's annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be good, and I mean,
or like even the cruise, like I mentioned it on the last one, like a cruise for charity, sort of something like that. Everyone got together. There was heaps of sweet cars.
Hopefully, we can get to a point where someone of note, from a former time, you know, someone of notoriety from, say, the old forum days, popped up and says, "Hey, I want to do something like we used to," and then that sparks a flame within, say, some of the more senior members of same thing, the forum days, and they go, "Oh, I've still got that car, I'm gonna drag it out."
Oh,
and
then, yeah. Someone was actually talking about, I don't know where I've seen it now. Someone was talking about like old street Commodores.
Oh, like a Where Are They Now? Big L Photography did it.
Was it? I seen one, I think it was another one just sort of semi recently. Someone posted up pics of, do you remember the old Aero Bar?
Oh, yes.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
The BS I'll talk era, about that. Yeah. It got stolen and stripped ages ago. Must have been 15, 20 years ago.
Yep. And see, that was an elite car.
Yeah. Like that was something different, wasn't it?
Mm.
And what was the other one? Do you remember with VR GDS? It was like a bronzy orange color and it had the big blower out the bonnet. It had a hell of custom. It was real custom bloody interior in it. Airbrushing and stuff, but it was done fairly tastefully. It wasn't your cringy sort of sex spec stuff, although it kind of was, but it was done pretty nice. I'm trying to think what the friggin' license plate was.
I can't think of that one. I'm thinking of that nice red GDS. It was To Desire. Do you remember that one? That had like
the one I'm thinking of?
I don't know if it is. You're talking about a bronzy colored thing. Well,
what color was it? Might have been like
that was red.
Jaffa color. Oh, okay. Let me see.
Or was it that VP Senator?
It might have been that Two Desire. It's ringing a bell. Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Is that red?
Yeah.
I thought it was like that Jaffery. Look at that.
Well, it's definitely got a pearl on it.
Look at that again. Is that red?
I think that's red.
But if someone knows, that looks like that Jaffa colour to me. But I mean, my eyes aren't that great.
That looks red.
You reckon?
No, that other picture.
Well, what about that one?
Yeah, but look at all the unnatural light on that. That's probably got a pearl on it.
Either way, that's the one. How sick is that?
Yeah. Look at that cream leather interior, subs, speakers, screens.
Advanti wheels.
Oh yeah, straight out of Tempe tires. Boy.
Yeah, that's so that is. I'm really on the same one.
Yeah,
stuff like that's cool. Yeah, that's cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring some of that back, I reckon.
Yeah,
we'll try. We'll try with my SLE. I still won't be up.
So to all that sort of stuff's sort of getting to like the early girl cool now. I think like this. Where we've been talking about all the second generation Commodore stuff. We can't really seem to get off the Commodore stuff, but I guess that's just us. But
well, that's what we've got.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you're right. The VN, VP, VR, VS, they're starting to get their time in the sun. They're getting to that age. You know, they're getting old enough where, you know, the
VRs. They were the cars that, the guys our age or whatever were driving for their first car. They were the cheap shit boxes back then.
Yeah, VPs and VRs are 30 years old now and, you know, they've got that nostalgia factor. They got that cool factor about them.
Yeah.
So
I ain't mad.
Nah, hell no. And all that's going to mean is that some of these shitty parts that are hard to find and, you know, or they're all broken or whatever, then hopefully they'll be reproduction, good quality reproductions with any luck, like Rare Spares or someone that sort of does a decent copy.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to keep maintaining these things into the future.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing heaps of bits these days, aren't they?
Yeah.
Rare Spares.
Mm. Yeah. All righty, mate.
What do you reckon, mate? Wrap it up or what?
Yeah, it's starting to get a bit late tonight and it is getting cold and we both got night shift tomorrow, so we might go and get a bit of shut eye.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Thanks heaps for listening, guys. We do appreciate it. If you'd like to support your boys, head to talkhub.com.au, get yourself some merch, or send us a voicemail. Just by listening or watching, you're supporting us, and we're thankful.
Yep, we love it.
That's it. Keep an eye out. I've got some footage to edit on the low-cut fuck truck. We will be having the rear mount turbo mounted in the rear of this bad boy,
which will be official.
Cool. Yep, that's it. And we've got some other stuff on the boil, like I say, shirts, other projects, etc., etc. So keep your peepers open. But
that's it. Thanks for the support, guys and girls. We'll see you on the next one.
Peace out.